By the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere, June 24th, wherever and however you have chosen to dial in. Great to have you with us. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with NBA D-League draft expert, Jerem Jordan.
Heck to the no, man. No, although I had fun watching the NBA draft, for the most part, last night. Watched about the first round. There are a lot of dudes I've never heard of.
Seriously?
And so I'm not that interested. But, which is funny because 21 years ago today, I moved to Utah. Okay, and as an 11-year-old, and Jaren Hyatt and Russell Molloy came over to my house, and they said, "Hey, do you want to come play basketball with us?" And I said, "No, I'm listening to the NBA draft on the radio." What a little nerd! They were so nice to come over and invite me, and I'm like, "I need to hear Joe Smith and Rasheed Wallace and Kevin Garnett on the radio."
Joe Smith, the number one pick out of Maryland that never developed.
He played decent. Yeah, he wasn't number one pick quality. Ben Simmons is really good. Yeah, but there wasn't a lot of good players in the draft last night, right?
Yeah.
I just, so-and-so from Croatia. I'm like.
Yeah, woo, woo.
Like, Chris Mirčosić
never
paved
seen
the
that
way
guy play.
For these guys, right? Vlade Divac.
And I mean, that's not saying they can't play because a guy
Drazen Petrovic, all those guys.
Like Kristaps Porzingis from New York. The Knicks fans booed heavily when they drafted him. He's awesome.
They should have booed at the time. That was fair. You don't know everything in the moment. You just know what you know right then, right?
They should boo if they draft Kristaps Porzingis?
Well, now it's obvious. I'm saying in that moment, they were right to do that. They didn't know who he was.
That's becoming the trend. We will have more on that in just a bit. Oh, by the way, the Big Sky is jumping things a little bit on what network BYU and Southern Utah are going to be on.
So on their website, bigskyconf.com, it says that BYU and Southern Utah is live on BYU TV. That's news to us, which is very exciting. Obviously, that is the most likely game for us, as we probably get the FCS opponent. And we'll see what else. But I was really hoping BYU would get UCLA and Mississippi State personally. But I imagine they'll be on any ESPN.
Yeah,
we're still
working on the Mississippi State game. Here are today's BYU Sports Nation headlines. Taylor Sander and Team USA Volleyball in the middle of a match with Belgium right now in Rome, Italy. That match is tied at one set apiece. The USA will play Australia and Italy over the next couple of days as well.
And set three underway, it's 1-1. So good luck to those guys. Zach Blair and Daniel Summerhays continue playing the second round of the PGA National in Bethesda, Maryland. They're on the course right now, and it looks like they're playing together today, which is cool. Daniel Summerhays is 1-under through 12, and Zach Blair through 12 as well is even.
Got a couple of guys in the Professional Golfers Association,
It's fun that at 10 a.m. local time, noon Eastern time, that Taylor Sander is playing volleyball in Rome, and we're watching it live on NBC, Live Extra, and we're paying attention to the PGA Tour. They're on the course. That's fun.
There's always stuff going on.
There's always stuff going on. What
Even
are you doing
on June 24th?
We watch volleyball and golf, baby.
BYU and Fresno State football are in final negotiations to play at the Oakland Coliseum, home of the Raiders and the Oakland A's, in November of 2017. That according to a document from the Board of Commissioners for the Coliseum.
Now, we know that BYU is playing at Fresno State already, but the news is where? So they could play a neutral site at the Oakland Coliseum.
Another NFL stadium.
That could be cool.
Will it be an NFL stadium in 2017?
That's true. It'll at least be a Major League Baseball stadium. Good point. The NBA draft was last night. West Coast Conference Player of the Year Kyle Collinsworth was not picked. Neither was Kyle Wiltshire, by the way. But Domantas Sabonis was a lottery pick to the Magic, then traded to the Thunder.
Best name last night? My buddy Pierre Nujum is a sportscaster in Sacramento, and the Kings drafted a guy with the last name Papagiannis, okay? And so he tweeted out the following. Better ingredients, better basketball, Papagiannis.
Oh, my goodness. That's good. Sometimes I want to walk into stores and say their themes out loud. Like, I want to walk into Home Depot and, like, more saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. And see if, like, anyone will cheer. It never happens.
Or you get, like, a discount or something.
Yeah. 10%?
20% off my entire purchase? Huh? Awesome.
I'll tweet about it.
Oh, rise and shout, everyone. It's time for What's Trending.
You're talking about it, and so are we. It's What's Trending on BYU Sports Nation.
The new dynamics of the NBA draft. In 1989, the NBA draft went to just two rounds. And in the last 27 years, it's becoming more and more difficult to get in the league, especially if you are playing Division I college basketball. Well, wait, now how in the world does that make sense? Last night, 60 picks come and go. No Kyle Collinsworth drafted. BYU's been shut out of the NBA draft for 5 years. There were a bunch of other big-name programs shut out, too. But let's go a step further with BYU in our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Heck yes. Since the draft went to two rounds in 1989, BYU has produced six NBA draft picks. Since 89. 89 was Michael Smith. He will join us coming up. First rounder.
So, knee-jerk reaction for that is, what? World is ending. With no draft picks, what is happening?
What, Cyclops? At least turn what? On the lights when you put on the Cyclops.
It makes me a little bit nauseous, but okay. Listen.
Take your meds.
Okay, just settle down. Is it really that big of a deal that BYU has only had one draft pick in the last 5 years, that being Jimmer Fredette? Answer that with your thoughts on today's Twitter question.
Why is it important for BYU basketball to produce NBA draft picks? Or is it? Use the hashtag BYUSN at TwigGearStone. It shows that you have talented players on your team. Talent leads to wins and recognition, brings better recruits. I proposed this idea yesterday in our pre-show meeting for today. And I was convinced that BYU needed more NBA draft picks. But as we dug into it and as we looked at the dynamics of the NBA draft and how many foreigners go and how many, upperclassmen go in the draft and how many whatevers go, I looked at this and I've pulled back on my expectation of BYU in the NBA draft. I was convinced that BYU needed to produce one every 4 or 5 years. Every 4 or 5 years. But as we looked at the numbers, since 89, BYU has produced a draft pick every 4.5 years. It was exactly the number that I thought would be good. But that's not good enough. I thought it needs to be every 3 years. But as I looked at the dynamics of the draft, it's just hard. It's just hard to be drafted.
And it's becoming harder because of social media and access and recruiting. You can recruit the world now on social media. You can upload highlights from Nigeria or Kenya or the Ukraine or Croatia and see them instantaneously.
Prep school 1 year in Toronto. He's from Africa. He's drafted, right?
A little bit harder to do that in 1985 or 1990.
Yeah.
To find those guys.
So you can thank the homies at YouTube and Google for BYU not having as many draft picks.
They're all accessible. Okay. Or even major Division I programs not having as many draft picks. Every school, I understand, wants to produce draft picks to set up prestige and to help lure recruits and to impress them.
And to make your teams better. That's the point, right?
Yeah, to pump up a program fan base, get people excited.
No, to win games. That's what I'm saying. The point of playing is to win, right?
Yes.
If you have NBA draft picks, your team is probably going to be better. LSU, Ben Simmons, didn't make the tourney. He's the only good player on that team. If BYU – listen, Jimmer Fredette is a – first-team All-American, BYU goes to the Sweet 16.
There is a correlation. National Player of the Year.
There's a correlation. Butler didn't do it with nobodies. They didn't go to two straight NCAA championship games with nobodies. They went with Gordon Hayward, lottery pick, and Shelvin Mack, draft picks.
The point is, for a guy from a Division I program to get drafted into the NBA, we are looking at the caliber of player that wins the National Player of the Year, or is at least a conference player of the year, and on one of the three All-American teams.
Yeah,
Some of those guys don't even go.
Collinsworth was a conference player of the year. Wiltshire did not get drafted. I thought he'd go in the second round somewhere. Maybe he's too slow. I don't know. Pretty crazy, right? So I think that BYU can have great success and pull off some crazy NCAA tournament run without several draft picks. However, I do think Eric Mika is a legit NBA prospect the next couple of years.
I think Yoeli Childs is right there as well. We'll see.
I don't see like a Nick Emery ever getting drafted. I think it would be hard for TJ Haws as well.
Not because they aren't outstanding basketball players, but listen to this, okay? Compared to 10 or 15 years ago, it's so much more difficult for a college player, especially a guy from like BYU, to get into the NBA. There were 32 universities represented last night among the 60 picks. And not all of those players...
That means there's a lot of foreigners.
...were Americans. Jakob Poeltl, not American, came out of Utah. Domantas Sabonis, not American, from Gonzaga. The following schools produced draft picks. Oakland University.
That's
Do you
in
even
Michigan.
Know where that is?
It's in Michigan.
Okay, you know it. Most people don't.
New Mexico State. Do you even know where that is?
Weber it's in New Mexico. State. Weber State in Utah produced another draft pick.
Joe Bolenboy, BYU played against him.
UNLV had two draft picks. They had trouble winning games in the Mountain West Conference last year.
I hate that chance.
Okay, so while that those schools produced draft picks, listen to the teams that did not, along with BYU, produce draft picks. UCLA, Texas, Florida, Stanford, Arizona, Ohio State, Wake Forest. Shut out. It's becoming more and more difficult, even for traditional elite programs, to put guys
There's
in the
that
league.
Word again. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's tough. So if BYU doesn't put a draft pick,
not the end of the world.
Get one out there for unless you know they keep the pace of every 4.5 years. I'm okay with that. It is kind of rough. You look at the numbers, you're like, really, only six since '89? Six? That's how it is, man. It's tough.
It's so difficult.
And think about the good players that BYU's had and has had good teams without being in the NBA. Lee Kennard. Drafted specifically. Brandon Davies, although he played in the league a little bit. Obviously, Jimmer has struggled in the league, but was a lottery pick. Yeah, Tyler Hawes, Kyle Collinsworth, triple-double king. So you can still have good players, have some success. But this next group, this next crop of BYU guys, they're what, five or six top 100 guys? There better be one or two NBA players out of this group, in my opinion.
You're hoping.
Eric Mika and then TBD.
But you know you got to be really, really good to crack in. 26 of the 60 players drafted last night from outside of the United States. That's almost half of the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Where
are the foreign LDS basketball players, by the way? I've always wondered this. Where are those guys?
Conversation
are they
happening?
Not out there? Because they're not coming to BYU,
right? I don't know. Conversation happening right now on Twitter. Use the hashtag BYUSN and join BYU Sports Nation. Why is it important for BYU basketball to produce NBA draft picks, or is it? Interesting conversation. Up next, we'll talk BYU football with Jack DeMooney in about 15 minutes. But first, Jerem has some explaining to do to Michael Smith. Why was the 13th pick overall left off Jerem's big board draft yesterday? BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere, simulcast on BYU Radio and BYU TV. The conversation happening right now on Twitter. Follow at BYU Sports Nation if you feel like it, and you should. Use the hashtag BYUSN to join our ever-growing conversation.
Hey, Media Day is coming up next week, less than a week away on Thursday. Web chats start at 10 Eastern Time with Lauren Frankham, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. State of the program, Tom Homel, the athletic director, Kalani Sitake, the head coach, and others. Hosted by Dave McCann. Check it out. Noon Eastern, 2-hour BYU Sports Nation. We're excited. So are the members of our crew in the production control room. BCR1, we call it. 4 p.m. Eastern, BYU Football 96 Revisited, and then at 10 Eastern.
Yep, there you go.
They're still going. They're dancing. BYUS, it's June 24th. That's what's up. A 96 special. So check it out on BYU Football Media Day. There's a reason we only have one camera in the control room.
We can't.
And not three.
Okay.
Reset. Was he doing the horse? What was going on there?
Why is it important for BYU basketball to produce NBA draft picks? Or is it? We just went over the dynamics that are changing of the NBA draft, including 26 of the 60 picks last night, international players. Only 31 universities out of 351 Division I programs represented in last night's draft.
Now, I have two thoughts on this that I didn't share in the first block. One is, I don't want to avoid this conversation because it's not positive BYU. Okay, I want to have this conversation. I'm glad we're having this today. And then two, it's only two rounds. Can you imagine if the NFL draft was only two rounds? We would be having a similar conversation about BYU football. But it's seven, and so you get more guys. So you get a Ziggy and you get a Kyle Van Noy. Bronson Kafusi would not have been drafted if it was only two rounds. You know what I mean? You can be good, but still get in that league. It's a little different. Less players on the court. I get it. 11 versus 5 and whatnot.
We want it. The BYU coaches want it. The players want it for program prestige. But it's not a deal breaker in determining if a team can be good or not just because there are fewer picks now.
And imagine if the NFL had more foreign players involved. I mean, occasionally you get one like the German dude drafted the Vikings. They're not invading the American space, if you will, in the draft.
9%.
In the NBA, they are.
9% of the Division I universities.
It's everybody. It's not just an American thing. But in the NFL, it's mainly an American
thing. It's numbers. There are more players, more draft picks. Yes, and it is an American-dominated sport. But 9%, basketball, global sport. Only 9% of the universities in America represented in last night's draft. And it's 9%. 32. I said 31 schools. 32 schools had players drafted. Not a ton. Hmm. Joining BYU Sports Nation now on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline is Michael Smith, a man who was drafted out of BYU and in the first round. Mike, welcome back to the show.
That's right. It was a first-round pick. It ended so quickly, I completely forgot.
What do you remember about draft night, Mike?
Oh, my gosh. So many thoughts and so many impressions going on before it ever took place. But I remember working out with all the teams who drafted like between 8 and 16. So that gives you some indication like where you're going to go. Those are the teams that are interested. It's pretty consistent. And I really had no clue what was going to happen. So I'm a little bit out of breath. I just
no,
got
it's okay. You're working out or something.
It's good.
Pumping iron, bro.
Trying. I was. But Boston picked 13. Golden State picked 14. Denver picked 15. Oh, if memory serves, like Washington was 9. I can't remember who was 10. It was either Minnesota or New Jersey, and then Portland were kind of those in before Boston. Boston had me in for one interview. It was like they flew me out. It was an interview. They spent a day. It was not a workout. It was nothing. It was just like dinner with the coach and the GM and just kind of quick in and out. And I was like, wow, that was a waste. And, you know, they had an All-American Hall of Fame front line, and I thought, oh, they're not picking me. You know, their needs were at point guard. Dennis Johnson was 36 years old, and I thought, oh, they're taking Tim Hardaway. Well, Golden State that year played the Jazz in the playoffs, if you remember. So not only had they had me out for a workout, but during the first or second round of the playoffs, they're in Salt Lake City playing the Jazz. They had me up three different days during their playoffs to watch film of myself, film of BYU games, film of my college All-Star game. And, I mean, I met with Don Nelson. I met with everybody. I thought, they're choosing me. Like, I was sure Golden State was picking me 14, and Boston picked me 13. So I honestly thought it would be the perfect situation because I had time to play behind a couple of Hall of Famers. But what I didn't realize is that if you don't get established in those first 2 years, like in your mind and everyone else's mind, it creates doubt. And if there's doubt, all of a sudden they start to see all the flaws. And I just didn't realize that. I thought, okay, these guys will play three more years. I'll step right in. But you really needed to crack that lineup right away. And it just was the wrong team. I mean, I had Burton McHale, who played probably 42 of the 48 minutes. So if there was any time, it was like 6 minutes a game. In 6 minutes, I could get 6 points and two rebounds, or I could get 0 and 0, depending on how the ball bounced. That's really how it goes. It's so fickle when you play so few minutes. We all know that. But if you play 20 minutes, I think I ran the numbers one time because I was so angry that in all the NBA games that I played 20 minutes or more, okay, all the games that I played 20 minutes or more, I averaged 16 points a game.
How about that?
Go figure that.
How about that?
That's crazy. Now let's just get the elephant in the room out, okay? So yesterday, we did a fantasy draft, and Spencer's team would have smoked mine.
Yeah, I picked you, Mike.
I was pathetic, okay? Your daughter, Maddie, she's on our crew. She informed you of the injustices that happened yesterday. I said that I didn't have you on my big board. Here's what happened. I took the angle of how did these guys perform in the pros? So if it was how you did at BYU, that was different, right? And Spencer took that angle, and that was a better angle. It really was. So I didn't even have you on your big board because of the things you just mentioned, which was you didn't get much of a shot, and then you end up going to Spain and being a successful pro there. But you know what? That's my bad. I want to apologize for not having you on my big board. That was a mistake.
Jerem. As I say to my 8-year-olds when they say,
oh boy,
I'm sorry, I say, I forgive you.
Thank you? Question mark?
No, I mean, It's so difficult because, I mean, you look at an NBA career, like I was, you know, the better college player than, like, probably all the guys you had on your board, except for maybe Jimmer and Danny, who had historic college careers. Maybe Tyler Hawes, if you just look at the number of games and all that. But I just don't think that's a true reflection. You know, like, but then you got Fred Roberts, who was, let's say, you know, a very good college player, not a great college player, but played 15 years in the NBA because his skill set translated to being one of those guys who could fit in on different teams. And I also think like expectations play a big part of it. So like if I had never been drafted, so let's say I was a return missionary and I played my 4 years at BYU and golly, I, you know, had a knee injury my senior year and nobody wanted me. But then I just showed up into somebody's camp every fall with no expectation. Nobody knew who I was. I bet I make an NBA team 15 years in a row. But because you're the highest draft pick Boston has had in years, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out and the team starts to falter and the team starts to look old, which we did. Bird and McHale and Parrish and DJ and Jim Paxson were all 31 to 36 years old, and the league was getting quicker and stronger and faster. And so I was the kind of guy who fit in with what they did in the early 80s, and now we're jumping into the 90s, and the whole league's kind of transforming into Jordan, you know, let's move quicker and play smaller, and Jordan and Pippen are the best duo instead of Magic and Kareem or Bird and McHale. It's getting quicker and more versatile. I didn't really fit into that mold what they wanted to do. So it's all, I mean, it's neither here nor there. Who cares? You know, I'm 51 years old. What does it matter anymore? But it's a great game. I loved every minute of it. God, do I wish I played 12 years and retired with a bankload of money? Yeah, but maybe I wouldn't have learned the lessons I've learned.
Michael Smith with us on BYU Sports Nation. NBA draft pick 13th overall in 1989 to the Boston Celtics, one of the all-time scorers at BYU, and now the color analyst for the Los Angeles Clippers. Mike, you watch a lot of NBA basketball courtside, and you brought up some interesting points that I want to translate over to Jimmer Fredette specifically. He's a guy that had expectations. He was taken 10th overall by the Milwaukee Bucks 5 years ago, and his NBA career hasn't really panned out like he hoped or many BYU fans had hoped. Does he have a shot, or is he in a scenario kind of like you faced in Boston?
Yeah, it's different, but I guess similar in some respect. I mean, just Jimmer finds himself in a quandary where offensively he can play in the NBA, but defensively he can't guard either of those two positions. And so it's really, really hard. He has had a shot with various teams. The one shot, I thought, when they gave him at San Antonio, I thought, okay, they'll find a way because of the way he shoots the ball, and you can put a Duncan behind him and a Defensive Player of the Year in Kawhi Leonard on his wing and help him. But I got nothing against Jimmer. The guy's got incredible confidence. He had a historic career. Every BYU person, you know, who's 40 and younger right now, loves the guy. That's all they talk about. And it's well-deserved for the run he had, the points he scored, and what he did. But sometimes your college skills don't always translate to the NBA level. And there's, you know, less-than-ideal college players who come out of nowhere and become great NBA players. There's such an emphasis now on length and height and quickness and speed, four things, you know, I wasn't really blessed with. And Jimmer kind of falls into the same suit. He's short, he's stocky, he's short arms, small hands. Those things, I mean, just look at a guy like George Hill, who was the point guard for Indiana last year, who's 6'2", but his wingspan is 6'11". I mean, just consider that.
Yeah, ridiculous numbers.
That's a guy who would be guarding a Jimmer in the NBA. So Jimmer's shot that he got off at will in college from unbelievable range, and we know he can play because he went down into the D League last year and lit it up. It's just a different game with the size, speed, length factor, and I feel for him. But, I mean, there's no reason he can't go play overseas and and I know he doesn't want to give up the dream, but and go play for 12 years. I mean, he could score a bundle over there. The game is suited to spacing and shooting, and they don't have long, athletic guards like that. They have guards of similar stature, where his savvy and strength and shooting and intelligence will pan out.
Yeah.
When you look at a guy like Kyle Collinsworth, who went undrafted, that was expected last night. What would he have to do in summer league to get a shot at a roster next season?
You know who he reminds me of is the kid in San Antonio, Kyle Anderson, who played at UCLA. And every time I watched him at UCLA, I thought he's too slow to play in the NBA. He'll never make it. But he's tall, so he's a little bit taller than Kyle. And San Antonio finds a fit for guys like that. Think of a Boris Diaw and a Kyle Anderson, and just a ball-moving, savvy guy with multi-skills. So there may be a place for Kyle. He's got to improve his shot. Like, he's got to be able to stand out there and knock down a three ball. And I don't know that that's part of his DNA. If it hasn't surfaced yet in 4 years of college, that's a reliable, you know, trademark. I don't know that it will, but that's certainly, if I were he, where I'd be spending hours a day shooting threes and perfecting a shot and hiring a shot coach, because the rest of the game looks like it comes easy to him. He's tough. He can jump. You know, he can pass. He can rebound for his size. He's a little bit of a tweener when you consider his speed. So he's, you know, he'd have to play small forward or shooting guard. He's not a big forward in the NBA, so that shooting is like the ultimate barometer for him. I hope he gets a shot, but if not, just like Tyler went overseas and played, he could do that and do it for a long time. I mean, his triple-double numbers in college were impressive.
Mike Smith with us on BYU Sports Nation. Mike, it's always interesting to get your perspective from someone, especially who watches basically night in and night out the NBA game happening and how the dynamics translate over right now. So we'll watch Kyle closely in summer league and see if he has indeed improved that three-point shot and if he gets a shot in the NBA. But like I said, great to have you with us. And when we meet in the future at some point, our paths cross, I want you to remember that I was the one that drafted you in my fantasy basketball draft out of BYU.
Can I give you my all-time BYU five?
Yes, please do.
Okay, you'd have to go Kresimir Čosić at the center.
Okay.
I think you got to put like Mel Hutchins or Dick Nemelka at the one.
There's two of my five already.
Uh-oh, Ainge at the two.
Okay.
You probably got to put me at the three.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going with Fred Roberts at the four.
Okay, it's a split down the middle. Two of Jeremy's picks, two of mine. Fred Roberts did not get on either of our fives.
Because too many
forward.
But
I don't know how.
Yeah, we did a draft. We didn't just pick
Devin
five.
How do I leave Devin Durant off the list?
Yeah, Devin Durant.
Devin Durant was the next guard on my list.
Jimmer Fredette's not on that team.
He could play two guards. So maybe I put Ainge at the one and Durant at the two. Me at the three, Fred at the four, and Kresimir at the five. That is like the Warriors' death lineup right there. That's like small ball versatility. I don't know who would guard us right there. Yeah. I don't know what college team could hang.
Čosić could play one through five. Yeah, it'd be amazing.
I love it.
It'd be amazing.
Okay, we'll put out your five on social media for the world to take in.
Okay, Ainge 1, Durant 2, Smith 3, Roberts 4, Čosić 5.
All right, pretty solid.
Pretty good.
Mike, thanks for the time, man.
Okay, be nice to my daughter up there.
We will do that.
Yep.
Mike Smith on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline. Deseret First, your values, your timeline, your financial future.
He's great. Clippers analyst, does a fantastic job. That starting five is pretty good, man.
Yeah, but would he have been able to draft that whole starting five against somebody else?
Yeah.
Up next, back to BYU football, Jack DeMooney, Director of Player Personnel, joins us. The high energy is back in Studio B. Welcome back, sports friends, on a Friday. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan in Radio Vision live on BYU Radio, simulcast on BYU TV, presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo, on Media Day, it's going to be awesome. There's so much programming, including 3 hours of BYU Sports Nation. First, a two-hour special at noon Eastern time with Kalani Sitake, Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and company. And then we'll have a 96 show later on in the day. And if you watch, you know, if you don't sleep and you just watch from like 6 a.m. to midnight,
couple of classic football games.
7 hours of BYU Sports Nation among the programmings. I think signing day will be rebroadcast as well as the morning
football
show.
Special.
Spring football. It's going to be awesome. Check it out.
Not to mention the 1996 WAC championship game between BYU and Wyoming.
Classic. Thank
and
goodness.
And at 6 a.m., there will be BYU-Miami from 1990 replayed.
Good stuff, baby. Next Thursday.
All sports all the time on BYU TV on June 30th, next Thursday. Let's refresh today's BYUSN headlines. Taylor Sander and USA Volleyball are in the middle of a match with Belgium right now in Rome. They dropped the opening set but have won the second and third set, so they're up 2-1. United States play Australia and Italy over the next couple of days as well.
And Zach Blair and Daniel Summerhays continue playing the second round of the PGA National in Bethesda, Maryland. They are on the course now through 14. Daniel Summerhays still 1 under, and Zach Blair is even as well.
55th and 68th, respectively, so right near that cut line will keep you updated.
So Daniel Summerhays would be drafted in the NBA draft because he's 55th. There's only 60. It's just that's the cut line. Sorry.
Zach Blair wouldn't make it as of last night.
He wouldn't make it, no.
Joining us now, one of our favorite guests, high-energy guy, Jack DeMooney, former BYU football player and the director of player personnel back
at
BYU. Yeah, nice shirt.
Nice
Jack.
Shirt. Hey, thank you very much. Nice shirt.
Yeah,
Spence, where's your shirt?
My shirt's right here, man.
Take off your shirt that you got on and put on that shirt.
No, don't take off
your
shirt.
Okay, put it on. Yeah, right.
You can just
right.
Put it over.
Yeah, okay. I'm putting it on now.
I walked in the building with this shirt.
That's what I'm
talking
about.
Knowing you were coming on today.
That's what I'm talking about.
There we go.
Now we all look like triplets. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kind of, Jack.
Yeah. But it's good to be here. It's good to be here.
You're a lot bigger than Jeremy and I.
Is that a large or medium?
This is a medium.
Oh,
this
nice.
Is a schmedium.
Yeah.
Mine's a 3X, but I'm good. I still look good in a 3X.
How was I know you guys wore these shirts at the Fan Fest in Maui, right?
Yes.
Laie,
yes.
Yeah, how was that?
It was great. It was great. You know, to go back to Laie, my hometown, a couple of Coach Kalani Sitake's hometown, and to be able to represent BYU. Was an awesome feeling going back home and, seeing our family and our friends. And, you know, we just designed these shirts just for that occasion. And, you know, it's been a real good.
Who designed them? You and Kalani?
It was a girl in California. We went to one of our firesides. Her name, she's a former BYU alumni and BYU Hawaii alumni. Her name is Sherry Parker Pula. And I seen her, design, and I was like, holy cow, that's a beautiful design. And she said, I can do a design for you guys. And so she designed this. So big shout-out to Sherry Parker Pulo out there in Irvine, California. When we went to our Irvine Fan Fest, she was there. So
that's awesome.
What up, Sherry?
Are you always this enthusiastic? Like, are you ever not enthusiastic? Like,
when are you tired? Yeah. Do you sleep, Jack?
You know, at night, I don't sleep. I sleep 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. No, I get some sleep. No, when by the time I get home, you know, a long day in the office, and I go and by the time I get home and I sit, lay down, you know, I'm out. I do have some sleep. I do get some sleep. But now that my wife and family is here, I won't be able to get any sleep because I'm going to be going here and there, everywhere.
So yeah. You've been living that bachelor life for the last couple months,
yes,
right?
Yes. So I just got back from Hawaii last night. We arrived 10 o'clock. This morning, I want to say a shout out to all my people in Hawaii. What's up, Sports Nation in Hawaii? You know, they all
watching on Oceanic.
Oceanic cable. Yeah.
What has your schedule been like over the past few months in the summer?
In the summer, okay. So, you know, I'm in charge of the football camps and the fan fest. So I've been planning, me and Rusty Elevator, we've been planning for our football camps. And it's been really busy. You get into the office about 8 o'clock, you plan the whole day. And, you know, being that I didn't have my family. And Russ, you know, he just lives 2 blocks away from campus. We stay there, and we're busy just grinding away along with all the other directors, just making sure that we get our schedule right and the camp ready for all these kids that are going to come in. So it's been fun, though. It's fun. Living the dream. You know, every day I go to the office. Once I step in office, I always think to myself, I have to pinch myself and say, oh, here you go, living the dream again. So yeah. That's what I'm doing, man. I enjoy it.
From Kahuku to BYU, it's been a fun ride there. When I know you can't name names, but the recruiting philosophy has seemed to emphasize, I guess, offering the last couple of weeks with a lot of these kids. What's it been like to bring in kids to camp and then do some heavy recruiting one-on-one with these guys?
Yeah, you know, what's so special is when the kids come in, they see how genuine we really are and how Coach Kalani, you only emulate your coach, you know, so we try to do the same. Like, And he's really sincere. So we try to be sincere. And so once he gives his pitch and he talks to the kids, they fall in love with him right away. And so, you know, being here, it's a lot more easier because the kids are so comfortable around us. And we've been trying to get kids, offer kids and try to get them committed right away. And being around Coach Sitake and a lot of the other coaching staff and see how we operate and see how genuine we are, the kids want to be here. So it's easy for us to get a commitment from them because they see how we are. And so when we offer them, you know, we want to make sure that they're committed to BYU. You know, and you know, it's been great.
What do you feel like is the best thing this coaching staff collectively has accomplished since you all got together all of, what, 5 months ago?
Yeah. You know, we try to get on the same page as far as making the players feel comfortable and having the same goal as far as, you know, our goal is to try and find the best LDS athletes. So that's something that we're trying to accomplish, which we try to do. And everybody's on the same goal with the same, you know, trying to accomplish the same goal. And when we go out, we know what we're trying to do. We know what we want. We know the athletes that we see. So everything is working the way we plan on it working. And given that 4 months that we were here, with the recruits that we brought in, I think that's an amazing job, you know, that Coach Kalani and our staff has accomplished.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy in February to see what you guys did with that short amount of time, and then we'll see what you guys do for the next year. There's a weight room addition, I guess expansion going on. When is that planned to be finished?
It was scheduled to be done the ending of July, but I think it might be done in August, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But it's coming along really fast. So I think by the time we start, before the season even start, we hopefully, and you know, hopefully it might get done. So
what are you most excited about within the current state of BYU football? It could be anything. It could be the schedule, it could be the personnel, the coaches. What is it?
I'm just happy to be here. You know, when I was growing up, I told myself that I always wanted to play for BYU. And so when I had the opportunity, when that offer came, I took advantage of it right away. So when me and my wife left, because we both got teaching jobs back in Hawaii, I always said to myself, if I come back to Provo, the only reason I'm coming back to Provo is if I would be coaching on the BYU coaching staff. And, you know, here it is. So anything that falls under that, I love it, you know. So it doesn't matter what I do or what it is. I love being here. And, you know, the first of all, the people is great. The people that we work with, the fans, you know, everybody that we meet out in the community, you cannot get enough of them. They're great. I love it. You know, being around the facilities and all, it's like a dream come true, especially the players. You know, we coach players that are very, very, you know, I think it's a unique job that we have, you know, coaching these players that no matter who the person is or what or who the person is, they follow and they listen and they do what they're told, which is going to be a great success for us down the line. So
BYU had a long-term series with Hawaii scheduled. It appears that Norm Chow didn't want to play that. Norm Chow's not with Hawaii anymore. But does BYU want to play Hawaii again
in
the future?
Yes. You know, it's good for us as far as recruiting is concerned because we recruit a lot out of Hawaii. So being that, you know, when I was growing up, when BYU used to come in and play University of Hawaii, I used to sit in that stadium and I used to look down and when the fans used to boo BYU, that's what motivated me to say, I'm going to play for BYU. In fact, Alema Fitzsimonu, who is now at University of Utah, he was on that team. When I seen him last week at a camp, I told him, I still remember when I seen you, and I seen you running on the field, and you was walking around. I said, man, this guy, he motivated me. I want to come to BYU. So that's what it does. So it's a plus for us to go to Hawaii because the majority of our players, you know, they come to Hawaii. They'll come to BYU because of that game. And that's what I'm thinking because I was a part of it, that system. I mean that game. So it motivated me to want to come here.
The overwhelming feeling that I get in the BYU football offices is that you are business, but you want to have fun.
Yes,
and that's what we're all about on BYU Sports Nation.
I think you guys should be coaches with me over there. Sit down and be
maybe the Southern Utah game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, man. We should do something. Put Sports Nation inside of the
if you do one of those. I don't think Ty's going to do it because you're huddling. But one of those boards, you know, with the four things.
Yeah,
on
hold the
it.
Pictures up. We'll hold the pictures up.
I want to be on a picture. I don't want to hold it up.
I'll work with Ty on that for you guys. I put Sports Nation, then you two guys up there.
You guys are throwing passes in the offices and stuff, so certainly, you know.
Oh, see. You know, being that our days were long at that time because first of all, me and Ty, we didn't have our family. So we hang out at the office every day with Russ. And then we have T.O. Fuengo and all of us guys, we hang out at the office. But when everybody's done and we're sitting down, and I was thinking, man, I got the Heisman Trophy on the other side. I'm going to make him throw a pass to me. I just told that to Russ. Russ grabbed the camera and he said, I'm going to put it on your camera. So that's, the rest was history, man. You know. And then all of a sudden, everybody's coming. How did you do that with Ty? I said, yeah. Man, Ty, and if you don't know Ty, he's a down-to-earth kind of guy. He'll do anything.
Absolutely.
And so I love Ty Detmer. He's a real, real great guy.
Jack, it's great to have you. Thanks for the T-shirts, by the way.
That. Yes.
And we look forward to game number one, which, oh, by the way, is one day closer.
Countdown to the Wildcats.
71 days away, Jack.
71. Here we go, no. BYU. 71. Oh, how do you? I did it the wrong way. It wasn't Usain, right?
I was like, are you doing up. Usain Bolt? Oh. No, you're dabbing. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, here you can put together two together. So you go. Hey, we made something
you
up. Yeah, BYU fans.
Yeah, we need to come up with a name for that.
Yeah, that's called lightning. Lightning dab.
The lightning dab.
All right, lightning dab.
BYU oh lightning goodness. Dab. You got it. Put it on a shirt, BYU
Jack
bookstore.
Jack
or the,
dab.
Or the Jack,
Jack dab.
Dab.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack
I love it. Oh, it's good stuff. Up next on BYU Sports Station, we dive into the Twitter question and your responses. Is it important for BYU hoops to have draft picks? You decide.
More Jack DeMooney, please.
Yeah. BYU Sports Station presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan recuperating in Studio B.
Dude.
After another interview with Jack DeMooney, where he just have we patented it yet? I don't know.
Patent pending.
Patent pending.
Patent pending.
The DeMooney dab or the lightning dab?
I like the lightning dab.
The lightning dab.
Yeah, that's funny.
Combining Usain Bolt
and
the dab.
Come on, the dab's gone. It's passed. But the lightning
the
dab
lightning
is
dab.
In, man. here it is. We're watching a replay of the lightning dab on BYU TV. We will tweet this out at BYU Sports Nation. That's the first time we've done a replay on BYU Sports Nation.
A replay of something that just happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
we need
to do this more often.
Do we need instant replay?
It's on the radio. So the radio listener is like, hey, I can't
see
it.
I see it.
Anyways,
check it out on
Usain
social media.
Bolt, he like points to the sky, right?
Yes.
And then you come down and do the dab. Fantastic. I love Jack DeMooney. Can we have him on every week?
He's so fantastic.
Can we do that? Is he that busy?
He will be affiliated with what we do on Media Day. In some aspect, we need more Jack DeMooney.
We'll just bring him in. Yeah, just have him as the hype man, man. He's got to be in our
Let's
crew.
Go!
We need him in our crew, man. The Supercast is next Thursday with Jack DeMooney and company. Kalani Sitake, Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and more. Check it out. Starts with the webcast in the morning. Jason Shepard, social media correspondent, Lauren Frankham on web chats. Dave McCann hosting a bunch of shows. We've got shows as well. So check it out. Supercast next Thursday.
You can see why recruits like this coaching staff, because the personalities
are fun.
They are enormous.
It's not fun. Why are you doing it?
Yes. Also, he brings us T-shirts. So we
also
like
he brings us stuff. Yeah. He bears gifts.
Our Twitter question today has absolutely...
I already had that shirt, though. Shoot.
Yeah. Well, it's silver. These are silver. Yours has white. So you have a different version. You can have two different versions, Jerem.
There you go. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
These T-shirts are... they were made for the Hawaii Fan Fest.
Pretty
specifically.
Cool. Pretty cool stuff. Our Twitter question today has absolutely nothing to do with football, but that's okay. It's coming off of the NBA draft last night. Why is it important for BYU basketball to produce NBA draft picks? Or is it? Let's go to the Twitter machine.
You got tweets.
At BruteDR. Branding and recruiting, same as football. Each graduate that has success at the next level makes us more attractive. Certainly there is that,
it's a recruiting
that
tool.
Idea.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we can help get you to the NBA. The problem is now with the international thing taking over, 26 picks, 26 international picks out of 60 last night. It's
so
harder
BYU
and harder.
So BYU needs to get international guys. A la Hurdle and
Sabonis, a la Utah,
right?
Yes.
Maybe. It's not been Dave Rose's philosophy to get too many international guys.
Granted, that might be the theme, though.
As an assistant coach, he was involved in getting Rafael Araujo here. Top 10 pick. Bust, but he was a top 10 pick nonetheless.
St. Mary's, Patty Mills from Australia. Okay.
Yeah. Australia's where it's at, by the way.
Andrew Bogut from Australia. Dellavedova from Australia.
Dellavedova. Yeah. We had to bring his name up on here. Jeez. At BYU Teddy Bear 89. It's as important as the national championship. Whoa. It's a great goal and achieving it would help the program, but we can live without it. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because BYU's not playing for the national championship.
Gotcha.
In most sports, right?
Okay, so it's important.
In hoops, you're playing for like the conference title and like the Sweet 16.
It's a goal. It's a comparative goal to playing for the national championship.
Like it's national championships further out there
it's
than the draft,
there.
Though. Yeah, I get it. You cross that
it's
threshold at some point. Yes, yes.
At PWNR 1019, it makes others see BYU as a relevant program. A lot of people think no draft picks, no talent. Well, here's the thing. Are these people thinking? Well, Florida didn't have any draft picks, no talent. Texas didn't have any draft picks, nope, no talent.
Yeah,
UCLA didn't have draft picks, no talent. These programs got shut out just like BYU.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what level of talent. Listen, it's BYU. You get good players. Do great players come here? Typically not. You get the good ones.
Every once in a while.
That can develop into great. Jimmer was like a two-star recruit. Do you know where Danny Ainge is from? Isn't he from Medford, Oregon? Like this small area, right? He wasn't like a five-star coming out. Ended up being an NBA All-Star. Dennis Pitta, walk-on.
Kyle Wiltshire didn't get drafted out of Gonzaga. Wiltshire, he played at Kentucky, won a national championship there. Went to Elite Eights with Gonzaga. Anyway. Cougars in action on the court in Rome, Italy. What's that all about? Part of the Cougar Rip Around next. BYU Sports Nation on a Friday, presented in part by DexterLaw.com. Help when you need it most.
Let us whip it.
It's time for the Cougar Whip Around.
Volleyball.
Taylor Sander and Team USA are in the middle of a match with Belgium right now in Rome. The U.S. leads 2-1, but is down 15-12 in the fourth set. The U.S. plays Australia and Italy the next 2 days in World League play.
Cougars in the PGA.
Zach Blair and Daniel Summerays continue play in the second round of the PGA National in Bethesda, Maryland. Your live update includes this. Daniel Summerhays, 2-under through 15. He's tied for 42nd. Zach Blair is 1-under on 15, tied for 54th.
Football.
Brigham Young and Fresno State are in final negotiations to play at the Oakland Coliseum, home of the A's and the Raiders, in November of 2017. That according to a document from the Board of Commissioners for the Coliseum.
Men's basketball.
The NBA draft held last night. 60 picks have come and gone. West Coast Conference Player of the Year Kyle Collinsworth not drafted, though he has worked out for 26 NBA teams and is expected to play a lot in the NBA Summer League somewhere.
Cougars in the minors.
Jacob Hanneman of the Tennessee Smokies. Remember, he was on the temporary inactive list?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's active now. He went 2-for-4 last night and had 2 home runs.
Oh, okay.
2 RBIs and a stolen base.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Track and field.
The U.S. Junior Championships for track and field begin today. The Cougars have 3 athletes competing. Connor Ross running in the 1500, Lauren Ellsworth in the 800, and Baba Tamiwa Adegoke.
Yeah, nailed it. Nailed it. Yeah, yeah.
Good luck, Baba Tamiwa, in the long jump.
I do want to mention, I was texted, Danny Ainge is from Eugene, not Medford.
Not Medford. He's from Eugene.
But not a huge difference, okay?
Today's Rise and Shout brought to you by Dexter and Dexter Health. If you need it most, DexterLaw.com. Who gets it, Jerem?
Oh, Jacob Hanneman for becoming active and hitting 2 homers. And for you for nailing Baba Tamiwa Adegoke. That's
Thank
a hard
you
name,
very
man.
Much. Hey, great Twitter question great Twitter comment that came up from @StillTeamRiley. He said, the NBA draft is like wearing white pants. It's great if you have the mad skills to make it happen, but only 1% will.
Yeah, you're wearing white pants
I
today,
just so happen to have white pants on
today.
So BYU Sports Nation asked, is that a compliment or a shot at Mr. White Pants Spencer Linton? You be the judge of that. Our elite tweet of the day, answering today's question, why is it important for BYU basketball to produce NBA draft picks, or is it? @He_Man_Hyde says, will you guys ask Jack if he would come be my life coach?
The answer is yes. Thanks to Michael Smith, Jack DeMooney, and everyone on our crew.
I didn't really answer the question, but...
Who cares?
Yeah!
Friday,
it's
whatever.
Friday! White pants, man!
Woo!
For Jeremiah and Spencer, shout out to Garner Meads. We are back to work on Monday. The Lightning Dab!